Y'all, the devil's been on me this morning. I'm trying to get sick, but I said not today. John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so I needed that peace this morning because I've been,
Sometimes I feel the devil pulling at me, burning the ground underneath my feet. Leave them in the dirt. He wants to take away the.
chapter 8, starting at verse 36. It says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" Some of you here have heard us play this song probably 150 times. And in the past, every time I've read this verse, I've read it from Matthew. And this morning when I was reading my Bible and trying to decide what I was going to say, I read it from Mark. And one thing that really struck me about Mark is that Mark uses the word forfeit, not lose. And so I love looking up words in the dictionary. So I've looked up forfeit, and it said to lose or give up something as a necessary consequence of something else. So when I think of the word lose, I think of when I lose my keys, which I do probably twice a week, or lose my phone at least once a day. And when I think of the word lose, I think of it as being kind of an accident, like I didn't mean to lose my keys, I didn't do anything that made me lose my keys, I just lost them. But when you think of the word forfeit, to give up, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul, to give up his soul? Matthew chapter 6, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be."
Thank you.
next song, just sing along.
weeks of clapping your hands in worship. So let's give the Lord a hand clap. I want to finish what I started. The idea that we came from dirt. One day I was sitting there and I wondered about the postures of prayer. And one of them, of course, is down on your face. And have you ever wondered about something in the Bible, then you go to church and the preacher says something about it, you know? And that's what happened to me with that. I had an old preacher, he stood up and he said, and he was as country as a stick, he said, when God wants you to get on your face and pray, it's to remind you of your uppings. Where did we come from, folks?
Dirt.
The dirt. And remind us who he is. And so that's part of the posture of prayer, but with the Super Bowl coming up, what does this mean? Touchdown. Come on, guys. Y'all watch
the game? Touchdown.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So it's a touchdown. But it means more than that in the Bible when it talks about lifting up your hands. You know, when I was a kid, I'd go out and play, and I know you find this hard to believe, but I got dirty. And Mom would say, wash your hands. You mothers don't trust anybody, do you? Because my time I washed them. She'd look at it, she said, turn them over. I'd turn them over. She said, let me see them again. Hold them up. And the Bible talks about his children having clean hands. One of the reasons that you would lift your hands to the Lord is to show him, God, I'm right with you. I know you. Another reason that we would do it would be to ask for something. If one of these little ones, when they start toddling, and they're toddling around, they're walking like me, and they're toddling, and they go like this to you, what does that mean? Pick me up. Sometimes you raise your hands in prayer because honestly, you really need the Lord to pick you up. You ever been there? Then, to me, the most meaningful one is the international sign in battle and combat. You do this, what does it mean? I surrender. And when you get to the place where you can lift your hands and surrender to God and make him Lord of all, you ask me, say, Chip, what does the Lord want out of me? Everything. He wants you. You see, God's plan of salvation is so simple, the little kids get it without, I mean, they get it. Adults trip all over it because it's too simple. They came to church, some folks come to church expecting me to be dressed up like the Pope and everything. That'd be interesting. You see somebody going back, that man was wearing a dress. You know? We don't need that in our age, do we? Thank you. But the truth of the matter is, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. Here's how you can have a relationship with Christ. First of all, so simple a child can get it, admit you're a sinner. Most people, if they're honest, have no problem doing that. But what they like to do then is go, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. The truth of the matter is the Bible says they that compare themselves among themselves is not, they are not wise. Because who we need to compare ourselves with is God. And next to God, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. How many of you sinned? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and do it right now, right? But if you have and you are, listen, if you had two trees in your backyard, two Macintosh apple trees, and one of them brought forth 1,000 bushels of apples, would it be an apple tree? What if the other one only brought one? Would it still be an apple tree? We're all sinners. Just because some sin more than others, it seems, God sees the heart and knows that we're all sinners and we've all failed. Jesus only came to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. So as we think about worship, know this. It's as simple as saying, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. And I confess him with my mouth. I want him to be my Lord and Savior. You say, Chip, it can't be. It is. It's that simple. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask our ladies who are dealing with the dinner down here to go ahead and go, please. Get things ready. Go ahead and go, ladies, please. I'm going to ask, if you would look up here with me, I'm going to ask that they come and sing the chorus of that song again, that last song. If you would, could you come and do that? Come pick that out for us. I've lost this entire side over here. I get it. God wants you to praise Him because He loves you and He loves hearing from His children. If you've got children, doesn't it feel good when your kids just come and give you a hug? Not because they want anything. They just want to tell you, I love you. I used to call it daddy hugs. Go and just, my kids would come and just wrap around my legs. And every once in a while when I'm praying, I'll bow down and I don't ask God for anything. I'll just say, God, I just came to give you a daddy hug and tell you I love you. Then there's other times where I really need Him to hold me, when I picture myself holding around His neck. Says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. That means go to hell, but have everlasting life. God does not want you to go to hell. I've heard people say, God can't save me. Let me tell you something. Our God can reach to the guttermost and to the uttermost. He can reach anyone that's willing to submit to Him. And God is crazy in love with you. How much did He love you? On the cross, Jesus said this much He died for you. Today's your day. You can ask Jesus to come into your heart right where you're standing. say, oh God, I want you to come into my heart, to forgive me my sin. I believe Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. And I want you to come into my heart. If you mean that, God will do it. And then I believe it's an important part that a person follow the Lord and lead his baptism. That's the first thing he tells his children. They're not here by accident or just invitation. They're here by divine appointment. You knew who would step in the doors of this church this morning, and your plan placed them here. You gave them breath in their lungs and a heart that's beating, and allowed them one more time this side of eternity to hear just how much you love them and how we can go to heaven by faith in Jesus. And Father, we ask you that you move and work. Be with the one that's here today that's hurting. They may know you, but they're having a rough time, Lord. I'm asking you to meet that need. I'm asking you to watch over them. For that one that's here that's struggling physically, I pray you touch them and help them. The one that's struggling financially, that you would help them. I'm asking you, Father, that you would help us to remember it's all about you. And God, we thank you for your goodness and mercies. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, before you run away to get food, we want you to do that. We're going to dismiss with a blessing. I appreciate those of you that gave in the offering. Thank you for that, your giving. And you know what I found? That God, when we give ourselves, not just our money, but when we give ourselves, God will bless it. He wants to use you. You know why? One more mud ball with eyeballs can't hurt. Come to the kingdom. Come to Christ.